Shmuel Lechem, everyone. Thank you for calling in. Hope that everyone is doing well. There's a very unusual, very famous few psukim that appear at the beginning of Parshas Kisavo. The Torah tells us initially about the mitzvah of Hava'as Bikurim, bringing the first fruits and everything that has to be said. And then once it's speaking already about bringing the first fruits, it references back to something that was already mentioned a few weeks ago in Parshas Re'eh, namely the need of Bi or Meiser, of the necessity of getting all of the Meiser out of your house. And when we say all of the Meiser, we're speaking about not the yearly process of giving of the Meiser, but something that was done on the third year and the sixth year. Because on the third year and sixth year, so you would have to give trumos, you would give meiser to the Levium, you would give the trumas meiser, meiser that was given from Levium to the Kohanim, and you would also give meiser ani, you would give tithe your money to the poor. Now that would happen, the meiser ani, on the third year and the sixth year. And after those two slots, after the third year and the sixth year, so the Torah tells us something somewhat unusual. I'll read the psukim. This is Perek Chavav, Pasuk Yud Gimel and Yud Aled. So, Ki t'chala la'aser es kol ma'aser tu'oscha b'shana ha'shlishis, shnas ha'ma'aser. That when you finish giving all of your tithes, all of your ma'aser, v'nasata la'levi la'yasom v'alamana, you give to the Levium, you give to the yosom v'almana, to the orphans, etc. So v'achlu b'sharecha v'saveyu. Okay, and this food was eaten within your gates. V'yamarta l'fnei Hashem l'kecha bi'arti ha'kodesh min habayis. So then you will say at that moment, after you've given all of the maizros, bi'arti ha'kodesh min habayis. I have not burnt, I have like rid all of the sanctity from my home. I've given it to the right people. I've done this just in the same way that I've done all the other mitzvahs. So I didn't violate the mitzvah. I didn't pass it by. And I did not forget about it. So the psukim go on. But the Mefarshim are bothered by something pretty obvious. Namely, what's the need for this declaration? You know, in general, we say that speak less, don't have the necessity of publicizing what you're doing, live a humble life, do the deed, and don't worry so much about verbalizing it or proclaiming it or advertising it. But yet here it is, you finish bringing all of the maizros, and you finish doing your duty, and you announce, I've done it. And the question, of course, is why is that? And this is a question which has been posed by many of the great Mefarshim, Rabbi Yitzchak Arama, and the Sefer Akedas Yitzchak, and the Abar Benel, and the Sefer Chinuch, and many others. They say, what's the need again for this verbal declaration? So let me present to you two different, I guess, avenues, two different options. The first is by both the Sefer Achinuch and the Abar Benel. They say something slightly different, and I'll tell you both of their opinions. And the second is by Rav Yitzchak Arama. So the Abar Benel and the Sefer Achinuch say the following. Sefer Achinuch says that which is most sacred about a person is his speech, is his dibur. And if a person just does something, so then, you know, perhaps they don't value it as much. But if a person verbalizes it, and this is the mark of sanctity for a man, then he's far less likely to violate or to lie about it or to not do it. Right? A person's word is their bond. A person's word is their oath. A person of value, if he says something, then either he's done it or he's going to do it. So those who the Sefer Chinuch says, again, a person who can get up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, "Ubi'arti HaKodesh, I have gotten rid of all the truma, I have properly tithed," that is a person that we know is not going to lie, and we have more trust that this has happened because he has verbalized it. Now, the Abar Benel takes a very similar approach, but slightly different. He said that the reason specifically that this is done, not after every year, but after the third year and sixth year, is the recognition that a person has certain selfish nityot, certain selfish aspirations or pieces of their personality. And it might be that a person is just obligated to give 10% of his money, of his produce to charity. He might not do it. He's supposed to do it, but he finds a reason. Well, this year I have to do this, and we have to go on vacation. I didn't have extra money. I'm putting this thing. We all know the possible excuses of why a person might not give tzedakah kara'oi in the appropriate way. But if a person has to say, u'bi'arti es hakodesh, that I in fact did do it, so then he's now bound, even though, again, his nature might be to not give that tzedakah. But if I verbalize it, and I say that I've done it, and I commit myself, so just psychologically, we know that that would be helpful. Now, some of the Mefarshim, just parenthetically, they have an issue with the sheet of the Barbanel. Barbanel, are you trying to tell me that really it's not the right thing to have to verbalize or boast about or advertise the fact that you fulfilled a mitzvah, but we only are doing that in this case, and this is a mitzvah d'oraisa, to do vidui, but we are only doing it in this case to essentially negate human nature. The human nature says, be selfish. So the Torah creates a mitzvah d'oraisa just as a way of counteracting or negating that tendency. And you might say, yeah, we have that a lot. But just think about what we're saying. We're saying that the Torah is making a chiddush that even though normally a person should say less, the Torah says, because we know that you need to do this, and if you don't do this, you might not give, we are going to create, almost like fabricate, a mitzvah just to go against man's nature. And there is something fascinating and something somewhat complex about that reality. Now, Rav Yitzchak Arama, in his classic class, Sefer Kedus Yitzchak, he gave a different opinion. And that is the following. That is that it might be natural for a society, or it is natural for a society, that the wealthy people take care of the poor people, and people have to tithe, and they have to give, you know, 10%. The Akedus Yitzchak quotes, and something that's well known, that something that Aristotle and Plato and others spoke about at length, this is like a natural part of being part of a society. So the reason, says Yitzchak Rama, that we verbalize this, and again, the words that we use are, we stand in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu, v'yamartu l'pnei Hashem kecha, v'yarti hakodesh min habayis, v'gam nisativ l'alevi v'lager l'asom l'amana, k'chol mitzvotcha asher tzivishani, lo v'arti b'mitzvotcha v'lo shachachti. Like all of the other mitzvos, we did not violate, we didn't ignore this mitzvah. And what verbalizing this, what it does, is it takes this action from just a nice gesture that might be a natural gesture, that might be something that's spontaneous. We do it because it feels good. We do it because we're altruistic. We do it because we have societal concerns. But that's all about us. That's all about us living a life based on what we think, based on our own ethical standards, is right. When we verbalize it as such, u'bi'arti hakodesh min habayis, based on what you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instructed us to do, we're taking it from the level of just something that feels right for us to something that we know is actually commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and something that is a mitzvah, and something that should feel like an obligation to us, and something that needs to happen. And that, to some degree, is the transition point, as the Gemara describes, between a person who is an eno mitzuva viyosa, you're not commanded, versus someone who is a mitzuva viyosa, someone who is commanded. And as much as we might assume or think that the eno mitzuva viyosa, the person who is not commanded and he does it, is greater, that is not the conclusion of the Gemara. The Gemara's conclusion is that, no, when you're commanded to do something and you know that it's an obligation, so that is greater. Why is it greater? Well, probably for many levels. But one of which is just our sense of seriousness about what we have to do. you know, if we feel that we're just getting sort of like a freebie, and yeah, if I feel like it, I'll stop by the hospital, visit somebody. If I don't, I won't. You know, then just our sense of seriousness about our life becomes diminished. So when we feel, no, there's an obligation. And it doesn't mean that we can't feel spontaneity or religious passion, or we have to negate all of our natural impulses. But we take those natural impulses and we also elevate them and we say, you know what, on top of all the natural feelings we have, this is a tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that needs to be very, very clear. There needs to be a sense that there's an achrayus of living a certain type of life, not just out of our impulse, but there's a real sense of responsibility. Now, if that's true, I want to just conclude with the following thought. It might explain something that I've always thought about, and for those of you who daven in our shul, something that I've shared before, or it's a question that I've shared before. The Rambam, at least for me, one of his greatest works is the Laws of Tshuva, the Laws of Repentance, the 10 prakim that are found at the end of Sefer Mada. And let me just speak out for a moment the ordering of those prakim. The first parak is that if a person does a sin, so then he has to say vidoi, and this is how you're supposed to say vidoi, and this is how you get kapara, this is how you get atonement. And the focus very much is on vidoi, right, admitting one's sins, and then atonement. Now, if you continue reading through the Rambam, Perek Beis is, well, how does a person do tshuva, right? Or what is a tshuva gemura? What's the process of tshuva? What are the mechanics of tshuva? And wouldn't you think, if you're writing the Laws of Tshuva and you're the Rambam, that you would begin first with how does Tshuva work, what is the tahalich, what's the mahalich, what's the process, what's Tshuva Gemura, what should be the attitude about Tshuva, and then some parakim later you get into how a person does vidoy, how a person admits their sins, but that would seem to be secondary to the actual spirit of repentance, the actual changing, the actual transformation. The vidui would seem to be a prat of that, a part of that, but perhaps a part that should be visited later on. If what Yisrael Rama said within vidui meiser is true, that there's a need of taking this from the act that is spontaneous and the act that is self-initiated to something that is an absolute necessity. And maybe that's what the vidoy does. As long as it's just in our hearts, just our own actions, our own behavior, so then we can sort of feel that this is coming from our own initiative. But once we say, no, Ana Hashem, God, Chatasi, Avisi, this is what I did, once it's verbalized, there's a level of seriousness that this is a commandment, that it's demanding, that it's absolutely necessary. And I think perhaps maybe that vidoy changes the mindset of the person who sort of wanders into tshuva versus the person who feels the necessity of tshuva. And I think that's a very, very important yisod in general. May Hashem, all of us should continue to have genuine religious passion, but also be sensitive to the fact that genuine religious passion comes and goes, is over here one day, is somewhere else the next day, is all over the map. And that as much as we try to be people who integrate that religious passion, most of all, we try to do so in the context of Vidoy Hashem, whether it's a Vidoy Meiser, whether it's Tshuva, whether it's Chesed, whether it's anything else in our life, to be people of generosity, but also people that are mindful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eternal commandments. Thank you so much for calling in, and everyone should have a great Shabbos. Look forward to speaking to you next week.
And swipe down.